Billy. So not just the person alone caused the changes, even though certain know-it-alls, devil in the wall painters, and certain sectarians, etc. gladly impute the fault solely to the earthlings. This is clear, but there are always people who maintain some nonsense, like the man who was recently with me and who wanted to fool me into believing that if one could travel through the universe at very high speed, then visually, the stars would stretch in length like luminous strips. It wasn't possible for me to make it clear to him that this is not the case and that I myself had experienced on the great journey that the stars retain their form and that even all target stars center themselves in the central visual field in a bluish color when one flies toward them at great and even faster than light speed, while the distant stars located at the edge of the field of view are practically preserved in such a way as they present themselves in the normal viewing form. Quetzal, 31. You should be lenient towards these people, for on the one hand, they cannot understand these things yet and cannot grasp them because they lack the necessary knowledge for this, and on the other hand, they also could not gain appropriate experiences, like you did, through an authoritative experience. Billy, with which you are, indeed, right. But I still don't understand that such people can just stubbornly persist in their stupid or even false assumption-based assertions, without taking into consideration or reflecting upon any other explanations, etc. But now, something else. Dr. Gross, whom I've known since my youth and who always gave me the necessary medications that I took on my travels in the Near and Middle East, has asked me, since he knows about my contacts with you, what can be done about impotence in men, in order to remedy this. In addition, everything connected to the realization of the increasingly appearing impotence would also interest him. As a doctor, you can surely tell me a few things about this, right? Quetzal, 32. The increasingly appearing impotence in terrestrial man, as a rule, traces back to his own misconduct, which is based in the fact that one sits for too long with closed or laid together legs on chairs or in vehicles and aircraft or on bicycles and motorcycles, etc. 33. Also too tight underwear and overlinens, by which I mean trousers, contribute to impotence, and to be sure, by the fact by sitting for too long with folded or crossed legs as well as by sitting on saddles and cushions of vehicles and on all kinds of other seats, the testicles of men are heated in such a way that it very harmfully affects the stability and vitality of the sperm cells, which are impaired by the too great heat to such an extent that they die out. 34. Also much too warm baths and too hot showers contribute in this way to impotence in men. 35. Nevertheless, a remedial action can be taken against this, namely by the seats being shaped in such a way that the testicles lie freely between two seat parts and not on a firm surface, but it must also be ensured that not too tight but rather no or only very airy underwear are worn, as well as large and airy trousers, by what means no accumulation of heat arises at and around the testicles, which would warm up the testicles and the sperm cells. 36. Through the aforementioned form of sitting and through the warmth, the testicles can no longer cool themselves. Consequently, the blood in these, which should ensure a cooling through its circulation, stops itself. 37. Testicles and sperm cells do not need great heat but, on the contrary, a certain coolness, for only in such can the sperm cells thrive in a fruitful form. 38. If, however, a partial or extensive impotence has already appeared as a result of too great a heating of the testicles, then there is still the possibility that this can be reversed in full or in part in many cases, namely by a permanent cooling of the testicles being carried out. 39. This can occur, for example, through a special cooling belt. 40. This is a skin-compatible abdominal belt, on which two cooling elements are mounted, which become gently pressed against the groin to the left and right of the testicles through an appropriate underwear leg garment. Billy, since we're already talking about these things, can you still tell me what natural means, which are freely available to everyone, such as berries, algae, grain, herbs, spices, fruits or vegetables, are the most effective against heart attacks. Quetzal, 41. There are several of these. 42. What can be brought to application most suitably is garlic, which contains very many antioxidants, like also apples, which, like garlic, are extremely healthy, whose antioxidants cause a slowdown of that cholesterol which can lead to a hardening of the arteries. Billy, aha. And what about saccharin, which was widely used during World War II as a sugar substitute? And what about the sweeteners that are used nowadays, like also the cyclamate, or whatever that stuff is called? Can I use this to reduce my increased weight, and even take such sweeteners instead of sugar? Quetzal, 43. You should avoid that because sweeteners of various natural and chemical kinds, especially in the form of cyclamate, are partially very detrimental to health and usually cause exactly the opposite, namely that they promote weight gain through increased appetite. 44. Moreover, they are extremely unhealthy, as I already said. 45. The body actually takes in many different sweetening substances, and particularly cyclamate, and thereby damages, as I said, one's well-being of health and one's immune system, and indeed, especially in those people whose intestinal functions are such that they even convert the sweetener in the form of cyclamate into cyclohexylamine. 46. A poison that, in greater quantities, leads to high blood pressure and, thus, can become life-threatening. 47. And in fact, many people also die from it, without the physicians being able to recognize the actual reason for the cause of death, due to the lack of knowledge of the harmfulness of cyclamate. 48. Furthermore, cyclamate also causes damage to the sperm cells as well as to the testicles of men, by what means impotence can arise. 49. Even in women, damage can occur through sweeteners, and especially through cyclamate, through which infertility results. 50. Moreover, sweeteners of the form cyclamate can produce a carcinogenic effect in men and women as well as in animals. Billy, and what, then, should those people do, who suffer from diabetes, who can no longer eat anything sweet, if that is so? Quetzal, 51. There are completely natural and healthy sweeteners of plants, berries, fruits, and vegetables, which are safe for diabetics, but it must be ensured that they actually are harmless because some herbal sweeteners are also more or less harmful to health and the general well-being as well as to the immune system. Billy, one would have to know these plants, etc. Quetzal, 52. They are well known, therefore, they don't have to be mentioned specifically. Billy, once again, aha, then once again, I want to return to what some people claim in reference to a second and third moon of the Earth. Tuan Samjais showed me the nearer and further surroundings of the Earth. But I saw nothing of another moon. The two of them only let me see one other planet, but this always only remains on the far side of the sun and can't be seen from the Earth. Do you know why such claims about other moons are continuously made? This also applies to other planets that should be located behind Pluto or so, whereby the planet behind the sun isn't meant. Quetzal, 53. You speak of the planet Cathn, which will drift away from the Sol system in the near future and hurry away into space. 54. But now, what concerns the alleged other moons of Earth, these actually do not exist. 55. In the future time, however, at further distances that are to be calculated in several or even many millions of kilometers, new objects will certainly be discovered by Earthly astronomers and amateur astronomers, which will then probably also be designated as other moons, which they truly are not, however. 56. With these objects, it will actually concern larger asteroids and meteors, which have several kilometers or even tens, hundreds, or thousands of kilometers in diameter to show. 57. The same is valid for objects, for other, further planets, which orbit outside of Pluto's orbit in the great belt of broken objects around the Sol system and which will also be discovered one by one in the coming time by the Earth people. Billy, thanks for the information. which should really make everything clear. But say once, if I may come to speak again on the American warmongering President Bush Jr., of whom you have, indeed, told a few things, if his father's work will continue in Iraq, who will also be a warmonger and who will let loose the so-called Gulf War from the pile in January of 1991, which then ends in such a way that Saddam Hussein can perform more mischief. Fortunately, this one will actually only go through one term of office, as you said. For my part, I find it simply outrageous that wars are fought at all, just because crazy, psychopathic, and schizophrenic and, moreover, cowardly and power-hungry people, like certain presidents and dictators, etc., can display their power unhindered and can release their bloodthirsty minions on the peoples or even on the whole of humanity through sheer terrorism and murder. Not just those who act in personal, political, or religious and sectarian, blind fanaticism and in lusts for revenge are to be designated as pure, blinded, criminal, and irresponsible packs of criminals and as terrorists, but also all legally elected heads of state or those elected through fraud or through coercion and force, as well as all those who obey their commands in the way that they themselves degenerate and become unscrupulous, emotionless, and irresponsible, bloodthirsty and murderous monsters and even actual terrorists. And finally, it must be said that those in power, and indeed, especially those of the industrial nations, also instigate wars and, therefore, expand for years, in order to create work and high-quality money in their own country, namely by the fact that because of the warfare in foreign countries, the entire industry in their own country, which works for weapons and weapon systems and their related branches, receives horrendous orders, and thus, unemployment is also prevented through this as well as the sinking of the cash value, etc. And now, when the Bushes let loose various wars from the pile in the coming time, like in Iraq and in Afghanistan, etc., as you explained, and all this is carried out under the guise of counter-terrorism, retribution, and for freedom, peace, and national security, then the maintenance of the arms industry and all that goes with it is also behind everything. Quetzal, 58. Your words can express the truth very well, and in them, the horror that is contained in everything is also visible. 59. But to your question, 60. The warmongering President Bush, as you admirably call him, will bring in his time, as I already explained in previous conversations, very much sorrow, death, and disaster upon the people of the earth. 61. Not only will he follow in the footsteps of his father, who is soon coming to power for one term of office, but he will still take this a lot further, whereby we have not yet fathomed, however, all the events and consequences of his psychopathic and domineering power obsession and vindictiveness. 62. But unfortunately, the evils, the destructions, the bloodshed, and the murders through wars and other terrors arranged by him will be many. 63. Concerning a second war in Iraq, however, the facts indicate that such an event could arise in the year 2003. 64. But in this respect, we still haven't gained any determining insights because for the time being, everything is solely based on probability calculations, but these have yielded a high value towards the fact that the war could actually take place, if the rest of the world won't be filled with enough reason to stop the terrorist crimes of the vindictive and human-despising as well as human-rights-despising and irresponsible presidents at the given time. Billy, unfortunately, maniacs never die out. However, this is probably not just the case on Earth but also on other worlds, but Earth certainly has to have especially major maniacs. But let's speak of something else. A question was given to me, which you can surely also answer for me, without violating a secrecy order that you might have to note. The climate changes on Mars, of which Tua has told me, to what origin do these trace back? Quetzal, 65. On the one hand, the orbit around the Sun plays a decisive role, but on the other hand, there is also a striking correlation in terms of the astronomical behavior as well as the enormous polar ice caps. Billy, concerning which, Our dear scientists still maintain that these do not exist. But now a question in reference to teeth. How is it, actually, with you, when teeth are damaged or are no longer available? And what about dental care and dental hygiene of a personal form? Quetzal, 66. We maintain our teeth by sound waves, as this is known to you from your own practical knowledge and your own experience, which is why it seems illogical to me that you ask your question. 67. Evidently, another reason behind this is to be sought than just your interest. Billy, now once from my side, even as Sam Jace sometimes took it from you, that is correct, for I was asked if you couldn't give an official answer. Quetzal, 68. I understand. 69. Thus, I have answered the one question for you, while the following has to be said to the others. 70. Our teeth, as well as dental care and dental hygiene, are such that the first teeth, which, to my knowledge, you call milk teeth, independently cease their functions and fall out, like with the earth people. 71. The second renewable teeth are preserved in the best possible way through authoritative cleaning and through healthy and vigorous care. 72. If these become damaged for some reason, which is extremely rare, then the corresponding teeth are removed in a completely painless manner, after which they grow again independently, which traces back to a genetically engineered process that is given through heredity. 73. Repairing defective teeth isn't recommended because often through the materials used for this, more harm than good results, as this is the case with the Earth person, who still uses repair technology that is extremely insufficient, which is why in this respect, among other things, also the need for genetic research exists, which will become a major talking point in the coming time, mainly through the irrational ones who will turn against genetic research and against the application of gene technology in many ways. 74. Nevertheless, as irresponsible as their relevant actions will be against the important and indispensable genetic progress, they won't be able to think about this in their short-sightedness. Billy, then a question in reference to sexual love, which is always confused with real love. How do the causes for this arise? Quetzal, 75. Sexual love, this is evoked body chemically by neurotransmitters such as dopamine and oxytocin, whereby the thoughts are of determining importance, because through these, in a conscious form, the desires are driven into higher or lower forms, which means that sexuality can be controlled by reason and intellect. 76. And indeed, sexual love has nothing to do with true love, which is purely determined by the mind and which can't even be equated with the feeling of love, which is also often absent in the case of purely sexual love. Billy, and rapists as well as other sex offenders, like also pedophiles and other child abusers, what is the reason for their inhumane actions and behavior? Quetzal, 77. Either they are pathologically predisposed in this regard or they can just act unrestrainedly, in terms of their desires, without exercising reasonable control over these. Billy, and, can those who are pathologically predisposed be healed? Quetzal, 78. This possibility very well exists, but the Earth person is hardly in a position to do this because it must be accomplished through specific interventions in the brain or in a genetic-related form, if the illness is strong in its nature. 79. As a rule, psychiatric measures are not useful, rather, they lead to relapses because those stricken by the illness deliberately act as though they are cured, just to succumb, then, to their uncontrollable urges again. 80. Pure medicinal treatments are also very doubtful, for as soon as the effects of the thought-restraining and desire-restraining substances subside, when the medicines are no longer taken regularly, or when they become discontinued, then the desires break through again uninhibitedly and uncontrollably. Billy, however, all that isn't taken into account by the people of the Earth, especially not by the psychiatrists and psychologists of the fallible ones, who decide on this. They always believe, the better the delinquents can act, that these would be cured and could be set free again or be released from prison on vacation, after which new atrocities then arise from those who are released. But all these responsible persons want to know everything better in their megalomania and beat all advice into the wind. What shall remain to be done, when their answer to everything is wanting to know better than others? Quetzal, 81. That is correct. Billy, then I still have one last question for today, after which we can turn to the private matters. Do you know what predatory animal was ever the largest on earth? So by this, I mean throughout all times up to the actual primeval times, when the first creatures lived on the earth, in the air, or in the water. Quetzal, 82. The largest predatory being of all times lived in the original seas. 83. A being that, when full grown, was up to 32 meters long, weighed up to 185 tons, and had fins up to 7 meters in length. 84. Nevertheless, the average of these enormous creatures was about 25 meters, with a fin length of 3 to 4 meters and a weight of approximately 150 tons. 85. In the future time, indications for this being will be found on Earth by the paleontologists, etc., after which it will then be named Liopleurodon, as I know from a look into the future. Translator's note. Quetzal's information in sentence number 85 appears to be inaccurate, since a glance into Earth's recorded history of the Liopleurodon reveals that the creature had been known by Earth's paleontologists since the 1800s, its name being coined by H. E. Savage in 1873. Quetzal gives the impression, however, that the creature would first be discovered and named sometime after May 1, 1988. The date of this contact. According to Christian Frehner, during the 497th contact of July 17, 2010, Billy discussed the matter regarding the Liopleurodon with Tua, who then clarified the matter. Tua admitted that sentence 85 may seem somewhat confusing, but in reality, Quetzal just recited a look into the future that was written in the year 1724 by Svith, Tua's father. Sentences 82-85 are quotes of a report that was written by Svith, who was responsible for looks into the future concerning future-related scientific factors and paleontologic knowledge, etc. The quote was ended by Quetzal with his own words, "We ikosine as you kunftska vice," which means what I know equals learned to know from a look into the future. Quetzal learned about this information when he had to read through Svith's annals in the course of preparing himself for the task of being a part of Billy's mission. In this way, the apparent discrepancy arose. Billy, then the predatory dinosaur, Titanosaurus rex or Gigantosaurus rex, was only the largest predator on the mainland. Quetzal, 86. That is correct. Billy, with that, I have asked all questions. So let's turn to the private matters. 224th contact, Thursday, July 7, 1988, 5:19 a.m. Quetzal, 1. Unfortunately, my absence lasted somewhat longer than I had planned because a task unexpectedly came to me, which I had to fulfill. Billy, now you're here, and that's important. If you permit, I would like to ask you something that Svith already explained to me and that also arises from information of the memory banks, which I've recently retrieved. It is of interest to me as to whether new cognition has arisen with regard to the origin of matter. Also, I would once again like to talk about life forms in our solar system. Quetzal, 2. Nothing stands in the way of your questions. Billy, good. Then I would now just like to speak on Mars as well as on the most diverse moons and planets in our solar system, as I was enlightened by you and was also allowed to determine on the spot with your assistance. Other than on Earth, no life forms of a human nature exist on any other solar planets or their moons. And now, in order to make it clear that it always only concerned human life forms when you spoke of the fact that there is no life in the solar system except on our planet, I would just like to hear officially a brief explanation on your part. Quetzal, 3. What you say is correct. On our part, we always only spoke of the fact that other than on Earth, no human life forms exist in the solar system on other planets and on their moons, And indeed, even if we have only used the term life forms alone. 4. But always excluded were those human life forms that, for your understanding, we designate as Sol system foreigners or Sol system externals and who look around on Sol planets and their moons solely for expeditionary purposes. Billy, that is, thus, clear and also means that you've never spoken of microorganisms, which are present on virtually all planets and on certain large moons, as you let me see through your apparatuses. In part, these microorganisms exist on the surface materials of the planets and moons, while others find their habitats in the ice or under this in the under-ice seas and under-ice lakes, as you've designated the whole thing. And all of these microorganisms, according to your explanations, have developed in their masses on the relevant planets and moons themselves, although their origin lay elsewhere, namely with comets and wandering planets, which deposited parts or entireties of their microorganisms on the planets and moons, depending on whether these came into the tails of the cosmic wanderers or whether these or parts of these fell from them. As a rule, comets and meteors are carriers of microorganisms that, if they inseminate planets and moons, immensely multiply in conditions that are favorable for them and gradually change themselves and mutate or, in the course of their secretions, create new substances and new forms, which form new life in unions, etc. with other forms, from which higher life develops over the course of hundreds of thousands and millions of years, if the necessary conditions are given on the planets and moons, so particularly climate, temperature, and food. Thus, there is life that is only in the light and other life that can only live in total darkness, while others can only exist in intense heat or cold. Others can only exist in water, in gases, in soft or hard matter, while others can only live in external spheres, etc. And as it happens universe-wide with the insemination of the planets and moons by comets, wandering planets, and meteors, as well as by clouds of microorganisms, which drift through space, so it has also happened on our Earth. First through this was it possible that life could develop from the planet itself. So if it is said that the Earth created life from itself, then this is to be understood in the sense that first, it became inseminated by microorganisms from outer space, precisely through comets, wandering planets, meteors, and clouds of microorganisms, etc., which then multiplied on our planet when conditions that were life favorable for them were created by this. Primarily included in these favorable conditions was volcanism, in which thermal microorganisms romped about, from whose effects, however, also climatic and atmospheric forms and layers, etc. developed, and after this developed lichens and mosses and later higher plants and, after that, the animal forms, and at last, humans were able to develop. Mainland life emerged here in the sandy shore layers of the seas and other waters, but this earthly original form of life first developed in the primeval waters, which still would have been undrinkable and deadly for humans and for actual animals. This process of the origin of life on Earth is likewise given throughout the whole universe, so thus, there are microorganic as well as low and higher and even high life forms elsewhere on other worlds, and with these also humans, as your existence probably proves sufficiently, and indeed, even against all the nonsensical assertions of know-it-alls and other lunatics, who believe that higher life or any life at all would only exist on our Earth. Quetzal, 5. I have nothing else to say to that, for your remarks correspond to the reality. 6. It would just be important to explain the actual, original source of all life and all matter when it falls into your knowledge. 7. It can, indeed, be assumed that you will also have this conversation be transmitted later and will publish it for the instruction of the Earth people. Billy, I will, yes. Of course, I also know how life and matter actually originated, I just have to reach for the explanation on the spiritual teaching, which reveals what the four original substances, fire, air, water, and matter, originated from. In the first part of Genesis, sentences 123 to 131, the following is to be read, The idea of the creation was in becoming and being born, and the coagulation of the becoming visible space was seethed through by milky flakes, which grew as spiritual and material life into the creation and the universe.